Good morning, Sunshine Country. It's now 15 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock and 58 degrees at our studios. We're going to have the opportunity and pleasure this morning to visit with Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics. With us this morning, we have Brianna Schaefer with us, family nurse practitioner.
Yes.
You work at the Villisca Medical Clinic, correct?
I do.
Are you there all the time primarily, or do you kind of float?
I'm there all the time.
Okay. How was your weekend?
Short.
It seems as though they always are.
Yeah.
Right? Ann Smiley with us as well, the specialty outpatient clinic manager and satellite manager.
Yes.
Office. How are you?
Good.
How was your weekend?
Wonderful. Worked
yes.
outside.
Yes. Got a lot of work done outside.
We did. Things that needed to be done for years, but we don't like doing this.
Sometimes you just have to get started, right? That's the hardest part, without a doubt. So, specialty outpatient clinic manager. Tell me, what do you do?
I manage the specialty clinic at Montgomery County Memorial Hospital. Is the specialists that come down mostly from Omaha.
There are a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And always looking for more.
Yeah. So that continues to grow as well.
Yes.
So, okay. Very cool. So we're going to talk today about autism because Autism Awareness Month, is that May?
April.
Is Autism Awareness, is that correct?
It was April.
It was April.
Yes.
Well, we're getting it in. It's the 27th, so we're going to talk about it. So. Okay, Autism Awareness Month. Are there activities that have taken place around Autism Awareness Month?
Not specifically, but April 2nd was Autism Awareness Day.
Okay.
So it was basically like the day to wear blue and support that.
Okay. So we hear a lot about autism in our, just in our general conversations throughout the nation. Nationally, conversation, right? We hear a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what is autism? If you had to define it for someone like me, Brianna, that, so that I can understand it.
It's biologically based neurodevelopment disorder, but it requires characteristics as far as being repetitive and restricted in, like, they like what they like.
Okay.
They like their routine. Any variation from routine is going to cause some upset, pushback. It also involves social communication and interaction deficits, meaning that I think the most common symptom people notice is their eye contact is lacking or different.
Okay.
That's more so in combination as well with their other forms of communication, such as gesturing or their speech. They don't integrate those all together like you would expect from somebody.
Okay. So that would be a definition of autism. I don't think it's quite that simple, though.
Not quite that simple, but it is simplest terms as I can put it.
Okay. So I know from our conversation the last time that we spoke, you are mm-hmm. certified or qualified
yes.
to diagnose autism. Is that correct?
Correct.
What does that entail?
It requires different courses and certifying on the assessment portions.
Uh-huh.
Being able to identify developmental delays, so knowing your developmental milestones through children, and then also attending these courses to certify in each assessment portion that I use.
And assessment, is that a long process? Is it a fairly short diagnosis, or
it's a little bit of a longer process?
Okay.
So what
does it look like? What do you do when someone suspects that there may be something?
So typically it's 3 to 4 appointments with
okay.
me. Kind of depends on what's going on entirely. Sometimes I like to meet the child, if it's a kid, mm-hmm. first, just to kind of get a general picture of what they're like. But more often than not, I meet with the parents first. And that's about a 2-hour long appointment to administer the ADIR, which is a parent assessment that requires lots and lots of questions. And it takes about that whole 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
And it goes clear back from when they first said their first words to what they're doing currently.
Okay.
And then the second appointment is when I administer the ADOS 2, which is more hands-on. We play different activities and have, like, depending on their communication level, it depends on what we do. But a lot of it is to be able to further assess their communication style,
mm-hmm.
how they integrate their gestures, eye contact with their verbal, how they request help, things like that. And then also different toys and games and like puzzles.
That's a lot.
Yes.
I mean, it's not, you know, like a...
It's not,
you
know, quick.
It's not like a throat swab and now you have strep, right? It's not that simple. It's a fairly detailed process.
Right.
Okay. You mentioned kids,
mm-hmm.
but everyone could have, right? Autism is across the board.
Correct.
So I would assume that you primarily work with kiddos, but when can you be diagnosed? Who can it impact?
It can impact about anybody. It's becoming a more common thing to assess for.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, people learned how to kind of get by through life. So we do diagnose adults, but more often than not, those adults that are still questioning that have learned coping skills to get through their social situations and their restricted behaviors. But it is still possible to diagnose adults. I typically don't assess anyone under the age of 2, though.
Okay. When would you start to notice that there may be
most
issues?
Parents notice pretty quickly. Usually before the age of 3, parents will pick up on things.
It just something is not what you would think. And it's just something's there.
Yeah. I mean, parents know there's something just not quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And pinpointing that is what the most difficult portion is, especially if it's their first child. But more often than not, they know something's not compatible with what other kids their age are doing. Maybe it's that they obsess over one toy,
yeah.
and they can't get them off of that toy. They can't get them into anything else but like their one car,
right?
Or cars in general, and they have to carry those with them, take them to bed, take them to preschool, so on. Same with their speech might be a little delayed.
Okay.
They may not make eye contact very well. They may have to kind of entice them to do certain things communicationally.
So I don't know. Are parents sometimes reluctant to admit that?
Yes.
I would think that you would, as a parent, it's just fine. They'll be fine. But is it better off to have that assessment done earlier, or does it matter in the treatment at all?
Earlier the better.
Okay.
So that we can provide those interventions.
Interventions.
Yes.
What are some of the interventions? What do you...
The biggest one's like speech therapy.
Okay.
A lot of these kiddos, it's part of that communication and social interaction. So a lot of them just don't speak as well as you would expect for their age,
yeah.
or at all. And speech therapy can help drastically with that.
So you could have I would guess that there are people that are my age,
mm-hmm.
or older,
mm-hmm.
that could be at somewhere
on the spectrum,
right. And just have dealt with it.
Yes.
And coped with it.
Yes.
Would there be benefit into having that diagnosed later in life or not?
For some people, it's so that they understand themselves better, and why they have the things that they have or the tendencies that they have.
Mm-hmm.
It can help with as far as different therapies and interventions. We can still apply some of those, especially behavioral therapy.
Right.
But for the most part, adults have learned how to cope through that. It's more so they have a better understanding of themselves.
Okay. Sure. That makes sense. We are visiting with Brianna Schaefer, ARNP, DNP, ARNP, family nurse practitioner in the Villisca Medical Clinic, and Ann Smiley, who is the specialty outpatient clinic manager and satellite office manager, right? So let's talk about some of the services that are provided. Maybe, Ann, you could tell me some of the things that are provided through some of the clinics and things. Obviously, we talked about Brianna diagnosing autism, but are there other services that are available?
Are we talking about satellite clinic or the specialty clinic?
Either way. You tell me.
Well, we have lots of services available.
Okay.
We have many specialists that come down from Omaha to our specialty clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Some once a month, several times a month.
Are there clinics for autism? Or do they work with...
They work with Brianna.
I'm with Brianna.
Yes.
Okay.
If somebody needs diagnosing for autism, we would refer them to Brianna at the Villisca Medical Clinic.
This is kind of a rare thing to have someone available that can diagnose autism, right?
Yeah. And then we do have usually the wait, especially for certain insurances, the wait for diagnosing autism can be up to a year out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So this has been a huge benefit for the community.
Oh, wow. And you hear a lot about it. I mean, you see the stats, the, I don't know, 1 in 30-something kiddos or something like that. I don't know what it is off the top of my head. I know it's something that.
Yeah, it's like 1 in 32.
There you go. So it's not uncommon at all.
No.
Your list is probably full. Yes.
At times.
So those services are available for people right here in the Country Sunshine listening area or wherever that would may want to utilize your services. Mm-hmm. So what is that like? You mentioned that some of those appointments are 2 hours.
Yes.
To get some of that assessment done. But what all does it tell for the kid and kids? You talk to parents. There's a lot of questions, right? That
yes.
you want to understand information. But from the kiddo standpoint, what do they do?
It's about an hour with the kid.
And it's just how they play, how they interact? What?
Yeah, for the most part. It kind of depends on it really depends on their communication level.
Yeah.
If they speak in fluent sentences, if it's just phrases.
Okay.
If they don't speak at all, or if they have just single words and they don't yet put those words together into phrases, then the activity varies. But all in all of them take a little under an hour usually. It depends on, like I said, that communication piece and then their age as to whether the parents have to be present for that or not. If I'm assessing a 10-year-old that speaks well, then parents aren't in the room with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's puzzles, different questions on their social interactions, friendships, their understanding of those relationships. And then that gives me the opportunity to assess how they communicate with their nonverbal as well as their verbal ability.
Okay. So we're talking about levels. So when we say spectrum.
Yes.
And I don't know if the terminology is correct. I apologize in advance. But you hear some people say they're lower on the spectrum or higher on the spectrum.
Correct.
And that means level of, or the extent of the disease or the intensity of condition. Tell me about that.
Yes. So the autism spectrum has 3 levels, level 1, 2, and 3. Level 1 is most often referred to as high functioning, is the old terminology for
yes.
it.
That's Rain Man.
The
Or not. You probably hate that show.
I do.
Yes. You know what? To be honest, though, that's the first time that many people ever heard of it. Autism ever really came out in the common dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine. Yeah. The level 1 is going to be those that people don't really identify. Like the common public isn't going to notice so much.
Okay.
They may notice that they may think they're shy because they don't make eye contact. Otherwise, they're not going to pick up on some of those other behaviors.
Okay.
Which is why it's referred to more so as like that high functioning.
Okay.
Those are likely going to be more of those older adults too that have just masked and coped. More so.
Okay.
Level 2 is going to be a bit more restricted in their behaviors as well as their communication. They're going to need somebody alongside them more so that kind of prompts them. These are the kiddos that need the constant prompt to like say good morning when somebody says good morning first kind
yeah.
of thing. They may have that restricted behavior as far as if you're going to town and you say, we're going to go to Walmart and Hy-Vee, but you go to Hy-Vee first, they're going to question, why okay. didn't we go to Walmart? Because you said Walmart first.
Okay.
Whereas level 3 is going to be more of those, what's referred to more so as nonverbal. They may speak words, but they're not connecting all of that into a sentence. And they're going to be far more restricted as far as if we're going home, we're going right home. And they do not differ from their routines typically.
Hmm.
It's a big struggle if you have to differ from their routine.
Okay. How do you learn a new routine? Like if you have a routine, but maybe you need to add to that routine, how do you do that?
It's a process.
Okay.
Preparing them as much as possible is the number one.
Yeah.
For instance, you know, if it's the night of their concert, so they're not going to be able to shower until much later and eat supper until after, or whatever the case may be. You have to prepare them for that as far in advance as possible.
Okay, so can you help, or are there clinics available, Ann or Brianna, that so that you can help parents understand how to do this. So you can diagnose it. We can understand that this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we do that? How do you say, okay, we're going to have to start, if we want to, make a change in the routine to understand for parents to cope with that?
So we try to help them as much as we can at the Vallisca Medical Clinic. Me and my nurses are well versed in it at this point.
Yeah.
And so providing some of those supports and just as a parent being supportive to those other parents. My own child is on the autism spectrum, and so combating some of the behaviors that come along with it.
You understand it very well.
I do. Yeah. And then providing different supports as far as therapy services in the area, behavioral interventions, even referring to different outside sources as far as ABA therapy, speech therapy. Some of the kiddos have behaviors just because of fine motor function and their ability to write. So referring to like OT, PT, MCMH.
All of those services are available, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Can it change over time?
It does.
So does it always change over time?
Typically, yes.
Does it go up the spectrum, down the spectrum?
It can go either way, depending on interventions.
Okay. Significantly so?
Not usually significant, because these kiddos are also in school, so they pick up on other children's behaviors and communication pieces. But it can worsen over time if some of those therapies aren't put into place.
I mean, because a lot of things are degenerative over time, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that take their impact over time and get worse if left untreated. So kind of the same thing. It can become worse if not interventions put in place and supports and that sort of thing.
Right. So like speech is the biggest one that you're going to see that impact with. You can have a kiddo that's using phrased speech, meaning that they're putting two or three words together to get by. If they're not getting speech services, their ability to pronounce their words, their articulation can get a little bit worse because they're going to pick up on other habits that other kids have, as well as just not getting that reinforcement in how to pronounce their words.
Okay.
And then they often will kind of result back to using other forms of communication, like pointing or grunting, making noise, versus they're using their words if they're not enforced to do so.
All right. Brianna Schaefer with me from the Vallisca Medical Clinic, a family nurse practitioner, and Ann Smiley, who is a specialty outpatient clinic manager. Are there ways to, what do I need to do to schedule an appointment, and or clinics that I need to be aware of? Tell me what we need to be aware of from your perspective.
You can do it two different ways. You can call the Vallisca Medical Clinic yourself and set up an appointment with Brianna. Kara, the patient access representative over there, may ask you a series of questions to see, you know, what kind of appointment needs to be scheduled to begin with.
Yeah.
So you can call directly there, or you can talk to your primary care provider and have them refer you to Brianna.
Okay.
Put a referral in. Either one is acceptable.
And I find that if you call and just start asking questions, you're usually going to end up in the right place.
Yes.
I do that a lot, and I know it probably irritates some people, but I don't know where I'm going, but help me get there, right? This is what I need. And most people are very nice about doing that. When should I... You know, we talked about the reluctance of parents to admit that there might be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to help overcome, help just, I mean, what is the harm in having that diagnosis, going to see some professional like yourself when you suspect that there may be something? I mean,
at the same time, it can give reassurance that it's not the spectrum.
Yes.
And it may just be that they need support in their speech and going to speech therapy so that they articulate better, so they become more confident in their ability to talk and communicate effectively. I mean, there's a number of other possibilities when we talk about spectrum. There's also, it also often will coexist with a number of other disorders and diagnosis, but even severe ADHD can look like the spectrum. So elimination is also a
good thing. Is it hard to just differentiate between those two?
It can be.
Yeah. Is it all like therapy stuff, or are there medications available that help with it?
There's medications that can help with the symptoms and the different behaviors that people have on the spectrum. There's no cure.
All right.
But there are medications that can help.
What do you do? Are there, when you're talking to your colleagues and other professionals, are there things that are, you hear talked about that are coming that may be I don't know, impactful in the treatment of autism?
There are.
Not here yet, but that are coming, that
yes,
you're excited about.
There are some. The biggest thing is those therapies and getting them the proper supports as early as possible.
Okay.
And getting parents a better understanding as to what their kid is doing and why and how to best help without trauma and other pieces that come into effect when there's restriction and restrictive behavior.
And when you're saying restriction and restrictive behavior, that's from the individual that's diagnosed with autism. That's not
correct.
The parent imposing restrictive behavior. It's just them that's part of the condition, right?
Correct.
Yeah. What do I need to refer to? Is it a condition? Is it a, what's the correct terminology?
It's a neurodevelopmental disorder.
Okay. All right.
A lot of people refer to it as like neurotypical or neurodivergent.
Yes. Yes.
So
I've had a lot of conversations about that. So are there other resources available to people in the area?
There's a lot of state services available, that social worker or I can refer to. There's also like the AEA at school is a good support, with different interventions to help support their academics. Mm-hmm. There's a number of things out there. It's just a matter of getting that information.
Okay. Very good. What else do we need to be aware of? By the way, we're visiting with Ann Smiley and Brianna Schaefer from Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics. April is Autism Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But really, anytime people should be
absolutely
taking stock of what's going on. What else do we need to touch on, Ann? What's the rest of your day hold today? Anything around this that we need to touch on?
Well, I would just encourage parents. I mean, as a parent, you never want to have a diagnosis on your child. However, the way I look at it is that we can get them the best interventions and get them the most successful as possible. The earlier, the better.
Yes.
So, you know, to get this diagnosis and to get them into speech therapy, occupational therapy, all of that stuff. I mean, I've talked to parents that have had that, and then they see the growth in their child after those therapies is huge.
Yes. Absolutely. A great point, though. You don't want that diagnosis necessarily, but you want to know it as soon as possible if it is the diagnosis.
Correct.
To jump in and start doing what you can do, right?
Correct.
Absolutely.
It also just helps parenting a little easier, make it a little easier if you can intervene just their speech alone. If they can communicate better, that makes your life a little easier.
Yes. Very cool, too, because like you mentioned earlier in our conversation, not only do you treat it, and you diagnose it, but you are a parent.
I am.
So you understand it.
I do.
More than most.
I do.
So what else do we need to touch on, Brianna?
I think we've covered most of it. If there's a question, you can always talk to your primary, and they can support the referral or, you know, tell you what they think is going on as well. So
do you have other – do you work exclusively with autism, or do you have other patients?
I have a number of other patients.
Okay. I'm just curious. So if they wanted to visit with you for other reasons, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So I also see a lot of ADHD kiddos.
Okay.
So.
All right. Very good. Anything else? What's the rest of your day hold today?
Clinic.
Okay. Ann?
Clinic and, well, meetings mostly.
Yeah. Okay. What's the most fun thing you're going to do today? Fun. It has to be fun. Meetings can sometimes be fun.
Okay.
You got zero response out of that. All right. How about you, Brianna? Fun thing you're going to do today?
I always enjoy playing with my little autism assessment kiddos, or kiddos that I've already assessed. So.
Yeah. All right. It's just fun in general, right?
Yeah.
All right. Good deal. Hey, nice to see you both. Thanks for coming by. It is something, like I said, that 1 in 32 or 1 in 33 students and. Mm-hmm. Kids will deal with, parents will deal with. It impacts not, it's everybody that it mm-hmm. impacts, right? So it is an important topic to be aware of.
Yeah.
And don't hold off. If you think there's something,
it's better to have it.
Start having that conversation.
Assessed.
You bet. Make it a great day. Nice to see you both.
You too.
Again, it's been Ann Smiley and Brianna Schaefer with us from Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinic.
It's springtime party week at Hy-Vee in Red Oak. The theme, helping one loved one at a time. Find